The voice of a gifted spiritual teacher carries authenticity, inspiration, and insight, all of which are transmitted in an instant. My name is Tammy Simon, and this is Voices of Wisdom from Sounds True. In this excerpt from The Field, author and award-winning journalist Lynn McTaggart shares her journey to find a unifying life force, an energy field that connects all living things across time and space.
I'm going to tell you about a journey that I took, and it started with my job. I'm the editor of a newsletter called What Doctors Don't Tell You, and I look at alternative and conventional medicine, and I study medical literature to determine what works and what doesn't. And in the course of that, about 8 years ago, I kept coming up with good, solid evidence that things like acupuncture and homeopathy and spiritual healing work. And this absolutely blew my mind, because I thought, if there's good, solid evidence that this stuff works, that it must mean that the scientific paradigm that we now have about the way the universe works is wrong or incomplete. So I went to my publisher and I talked them into financing a journey that I would take to try to find out if any scientists out there could explain to me why this stuff works. So I traveled around the world on a quest to speak to many scientists who were working in a variety of areas, physics, biology, chemistry, to see if they had a piece of the puzzle. And also to see if they had some grand theory that would explain why things like distant healing work. And it soon occurred to me that there was no grand theory out there to explain this, and that the scientists I did find had uncovered some remarkable things about the nature of reality, but that they'd only found one tiny element of it. And it began to feel like they'd all discovered a little bucket of Earth, but nobody was bold enough to declare it a continent. What's usually the case with scientists is that they do experimental work and they are told not to move outside their own theory or their own experimental evidence. And so it's very difficult for them to speculate. So it quickly became apparent that if I wanted a theory, a big grand theory of everything, I was going to have to come up with it myself. Now, the most daunting prospect of this is that I'm not a physicist. In fact, I'm not any kind of scientist. The last kind of science I ever studied was in the 10th grade. But what I am fairly good at is reporting. I have a background in investigative reporting. So I felt that what I might be able to do is tease out of these scientists enough information to try to knit this together myself. So that is what I did, and it was a very difficult prospect. It was probably the hardest thing I've ever done. I had to be tutored by many of these scientists, and I had to try to help them to communicate with me in a way that I could understand. I also had to study quantum physics, which was very mind-boggling because it's so counterintuitive. Many of the very strange effects of quantum physics make no sense in the real world. And for the scientists to describe quantum physics for me was equally difficult. I often had to feed back to them what they were trying to say to me in metaphor to see if that could explain in language what they were trying to relate through equations and mathematics. As I talked to the scientists, as they tutored me in quantum physics, what became apparent to me was that quantum physics, as it's now constructed, looks at the very, very tiny or the very, very large in terms of the universe, but doesn't look at the human element. In fact, humans are left out of quantum theory because the current view is that the human body, anything living, does not have a quantum process within it. And so I was really asking, are we quantum entities? Do quantum processes go on inside of us? Do we relate to each other with frequencies, not as separate beings? And what does that mean to our worldview? What became apparent to me in talking to these scientists was that what they were looking at and what they were discovering and what I was going to look at and try to put together was going to threaten science as we know it, which is basically Newtonian science. Everything that we believe about our world and how it works is derived from the views of Isaac Newton, which were developed in the 17th century. And these views basically paint a world that is very well behaved, that works according to very fixed rules, but that is also a world inhabited by separate objects in space and time. And from those theories about this well-behaved universe, we've constructed a worldview of the separate. We believe that we are individual and lonely beings on a lonely planet in a lonely universe. And that informs how we create our work, how we teach our children, how we live our lives. As I mentioned earlier, one of the big problems was there was no grand theory out there. I was going to have to construct it from the little pieces of the puzzle that each of these scientists offered. And it became apparent to me as I did so that what I was looking at was a radical new view of the world that described a completely different way of how our world works, of how we work, and how we define ourselves. It came about from frontier scientists who had asked a couple of questions that were important about what hadn't been completed in quantum theory. They also asked the obvious question, why are there two kinds of physics? These days, there's the physics of the small, which is the physics of quantum physics, and the physics of the very large. That's the big observable world out there. And most physicists are content to believe that quantum particles behave one way when they're on their own as a tiny particle, but behave entirely differently as a part of a collective whole, as a big thing. So these scientists were brave enough to ask those questions. You know, can nature be this messy and redundant to have two kinds of physics? They also were looking at things like, what is consciousness? Where is it? Is it in the brain? And they wondered about our role and the role of consciousness and whether it can extend out and affect its world.
You've been listening to Voices of Wisdom from Sounds True, sponsored by Bread for the Journey. For more wisdom for the inner life, please visit www.soundstrue.com.